and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. What would Hawaii look like in 10 years if every child on every island heard the gospel by the age of 12? This is the question that drives our guest these days. It's so deep in his heart, he and his wife, that they're so passionate about it that they've taken extreme measures to do something about it. And you won't meet many people like them who are willing to give up what they've given up with the stakes being so high to do what they feel God has called them to do. You'll be inspired when you hear him. And that's why we're here at the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. They're talking. Our guests will talk about reaching children with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're here because we want to draw you closer and closer to the Lord, for you to know his love, that there isn't a challenge that is so big, a Goliath that is so gigantic, whether it be in your finances, whether it be in your health, whether it be in a relationship, whether it be in work, a Goliath so large and daunting and intimidating that with Christ's help, you will be able to defeat, to overcome, to become victorious. The thing is this, we need to have a relationship with God. And that is possible through faith in Jesus Christ. Christ who died on the cross for our sins. That sins that separate us from God. But Christ died in our place. He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash our sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And the living Christ gives us access to God, to have a deep, intimate, personal relationship with Almighty God. And you know today, my friend, Jesus Christ is calling you to himself. Would you open your heart to Jesus? Oh, how he loves you. Yes, he does. My friend Matt Walton and his wife Stacy moved to Oahu in May of 2012 to be missionaries with Child Evangelism Fellowship in Hawaii. Child Evangelism Fellowship is committed to sharing the gospel with children all across the state. Before joining CEF, as it is known, CEF of Hawaii, Matt was a youth minister in North Carolina for more than 15 years. In 2010, Matt felt God leading him into a new type of ministry. After much prayer and an amazing God-led journey, Matt and Stacy sold everything they had. Everything they had. Drove across the mainland, flew to Honolulu, and began their ministry here on May 31st, 2012. Matt and Stacy have begun the process of planting deep roots here in the islands. They're looking forward to a long and fruitful ministry with CEF of Hawaii. Last summer, they became members of First Presbyterian Church of Honolulu and have enjoyed developing relationships with their new family there. And it is my privilege to welcome Matt to our show. Matt, it's good to have you here, and I'm glad
thank you,
that
Daniel.
You're sitting with me
glad
in
to be
studio.
Here too.
So, North Carolina, is that where you grew up?
Yes, I was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, but for the most part, I grew up in North Carolina from about first grade on.
Okay, now, that's on the other side, right?
Mm-hmm.
On the other side of our great nation.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. What was it like growing up in North Carolina?
It was great. We lived in a pretty rural area, so it was kind of a small town feel. There was no big metropolis. You had to drive, you know, 20 miles to get to the grocery store and those kind of things. But we grew up in a small town church. We were kind of the outsiders because we were didn't have the same last name as everybody else in the community because we'd moved from Ohio at the time. But they really made us feel welcome, and that's really where I developed a relationship with Christ at the age of 8. I accepted Christ and was baptized in that church, and just an amazing
journey.
Talk to
me about that. Mm-hmm. How did you come to Christ?
Well, like I said, I grew up in a church, in a Christian home, and as I went through Sunday school and heard the pastor speak and those kind of things and was really involved in reading the scripture, and God just eventually tapped me on the shoulder and said, you know, this is time for you to make a choice here. You know, coming to church, I realized wasn't what it was all about. There was also a decision that I had to make, and the pastors made that clear on Sunday mornings. And so one Sunday I came and spoke to my parents and said, what do I have to do to be baptized? And they said, well, you just need to talk to the pastor and invite Jesus into your heart, and that's the process there. So we spoke with the pastor, and he was excited, and I was excited. And from that point on, it's just been an amazing journey with Christ and growing in my relationship with him.
So from the age of 8, mm-hmm. you open your heart to Christ.
Yes, sir.
Who influenced you in your early years of development as
a
Christian?
Well, obviously my parents did. My mother was very strong in her faith, and we had kind of a difficult home situation growing up. My parents had come from difficult backgrounds and brought some of that with them in their marriage relationship. And so the church was really a place where I found solace and solitude and looking at the scriptures and seeing the promises that God says that he loves us no matter what. And so watching my parents kind of struggle with that, but also seeing that their faith helped them through some difficult times really kind of helped me there too. And then eventually my faith is what helped me through some of those difficult times as well.
What were you passionate about as a child?
It was kind of a funny story. When I was a child, whenever anybody would ask me what I wanted to be when I grew up, I always said an astronaut. So I wanted to enjoyed space, had telescopes when I was young, and enjoyed looking up at the stars and dreamed of being up there with in the space someday. You know, whether going to the moon was in my mind as possibly one of the folks that would go back to the moon. So had it all planned out with the Air Force ROTC and being an Air Force test pilot. And eventually, even after I graduated high school, I went to Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University in Florida, mm-hmm. studying aerospace engineering, and really kind of came to a point in my life where God said, you know, this is your dream. This is what you want to do, but this is not what I want you to do. And so in college, after several years in a rather expensive school and really kind of not feeling fulfilled, except for the local church that I was volunteering in as far as a youth leader, God kind of brought me to a point where he said, it's time to make a choice, and you can either follow what you want to do, or you can let go of those dreams that you have, and I've got something that's even greater in store for you.
What brought you to that place? There you are at Embry-Riddle.
Mm-hmm.
Your dream is coming true.
Mm-hmm.
You're pursuing it.
Right.
You're in position. I mean,
mm-hmm.
that's the place to be.
Yep.
And so what was it inside that mm-hmm. went on that caused you to be aware or even open mm-hmm. to what God was doing at that time?
Well, it was really just an emptiness inside. You know, I realized that the things that I was pursuing weren't being as fulfilling to me as I thought they would be. They didn't give me as much joy as I thought they would. And I realized that the times that I really had genuine joy was working with those teenagers at the church that I was volunteering at, the Baptist church there in Daytona. And so God eventually put a scripture in front of me, 1 Corinthians 2:9, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, even entered in the mind of man what God has in store for those who love him. And it was almost like this neon sign. God said, you know, what you think is incredible as far as being an astronaut is nothing compared to what I have in store for you. But you have to make the choice to really give your life completely to me, which I hadn't really done at that point. You know, I'd been saved, you know, had the relationship with Christ, but I'd not really given my whole life to him and said, Lord, you're right. This is my life. This is not my life. This is your life. Everything that I have, everything that I own is yours, and I need to be willing to sacrifice that. And so that's really the first time in my life that I came to that point and said, okay, God, whatever. If you want me to be an astronaut, great. If not, then I'm willing to sacrifice that.
It seems to be part of the growing process of biblical believers growing in maturity.
Mm.
Someone can accept Christ
right
rather early, mm-hmm. or really at any part in any season in life.
Mm-hmm.
But there has to come a place where each of us, in our own experience, come to the crossroads of who is going to call the shots?
Mm, right.
in my life.
Absolutely.
Because we all have dreams, mm-hmm. and they might not be, even be bad dreams. They're right. good dreams, good ambitions.
Yep. Absolutely.
And they even might be ambitions that will give God glory.
True.
So we say.
True.
And then maybe we mean it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's still not the thing. And you touched right. on it. It was, you know, I've got a plan
yeah.
for you.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever felt, Matt, that the Lord doesn't only want us to submit to His dream, but that He would want us to love His dream?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Why do you think more of us don't surrender to Him sooner?
That's a good question. I think for me personally, it has, coming from the background that I came from, I really wanted to be in control of my life. I wanted to control things and thought that that was a way for me to be able to do that, by making all these future plans and having everything laid out in front of me and, you know, on the side being a Christian and going to church and helping out volunteering. But it wasn't until I finally realized that it was really an all or nothing thing. You know, Christ called His followers to sacrifice everything. And even then in college, I really didn't fully understand what that was about. Over in 2010, we kind of relearned that lesson. But it's been amazing as I've looked back on my life after that initial point of saying to God, yes, this, everything that I have is yours. You know, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. It's just been amazing how He has directed my life, how He's given me a joy inside and fulfillment that, you know, I never probably could have felt possible, you know, doing anything else, even being in the Air Force and being a test pilot, as great as that could have been.
You have a glow about you, brother. And it seems like you're in the sweet spot of your life and your calling.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Walton is the local director of Child Evangelism Fellowship here in Hawaii. You know, he talks about, you know, surrendering all to God. Well, there aren't very many people who would do what he and his wife Stacy did. They sold everything and then came to Hawaii. We're going to take a quick break right now, but when we come back, we'll hear how this man of God who has had the mind, the intellect to be at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical School, University in Florida, was fulfilling his dreams, his ambitions. And God called him to surrender all. And then the Lord led him. And as He led him, He's here right now, leading a ministry that has a heart that pounds, that beats, to reach children with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, the impact. Stay with us. We'll be back with more with Matt Walton.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Paliomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042. There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Are you a person who gets energized or drained when you're around young people? You know, teens, youth. Do they rev you up because there's a smile that just breaks out all over your face when you see young people around? Or do you become gloomy and tired? Well, I'll tell you what. Our guest today, you talk about young people, you talk about youth, you talk about children. He's just beaming from ear to ear. His name is Matt Walton. He's the local director of Child Evangelism Fellowship here in Hawaii. He came all the way from North Carolina, sold everything, he and his wife sold everything they had so that they could come here to minister to the Keiki Oka'aina, the children of our precious land here in Hawaii. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. I'm grateful that you're with us. I believe that you're going to be touched. Of course, anytime we talk about kids, it's very touching. By the story of our guests. To find out more about our show, if you want to get this podcast, maybe you're tuning in right now, to get this podcast for free, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. You can gain access to it there. And like always, I say, you know, not only listen to it, pass it on to a family member or a friend. thegoodlifehawaii.com. Matt, you were involved with ministry after you made the transition. You know, from what you were studying there at Embry-Riddle.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What was your ministry like?
Well, after I made the decision, I moved back to North Carolina, and I started praying and looking for ways that I could be a part of ministry, and God opened doors for me to be a part-time youth minister during the summer. And so I worked with some small churches that didn't have a budget for having somebody full-time during the year or part-time even. So I got to kind of cut my teeth doing summer ministry with teenagers that way, and that was a great learning experience through that time. Then eventually God led me to a small church in Hillsborough, North Carolina called Cane Creek Baptist Church. And one of the young ladies on the personnel committee who interviewed me would end up being my wife, Stacy. Yeah, so it's amazing to kind of look back and see how God did all that. It was kind of a small church, but there I had duties with youth and children. And I really, you know, discovered what I kind of already knew, that I had this love for children and for teenagers. Just seeing them just get excited about God and who he is and that he loves them and develop the relationship with him. So that community there really kind of nurtured us. And as I said, our family kind of blossomed from there. My wife, Stacy, was a single mom at the time, and her daughter, Casey, was in kindergarten. And so it really kind of one of those situations where I kind of fell in love with Casey first, our daughter. God just kind of broke my heart for her, and she just had this amazing smile and just on fire, even as a little child, for God, and accepted Christ at an early age. And that's kind of how what brought Stacy back to church was through her daughter, Casey. Mm. And so as God continued to develop our relationship, we started eventually to date. And by that point, I felt convinced that this was the woman I was going to spend the rest of my life with. And so because I knew that was a difficult situation there, as far as I didn't want to go into it lightly. So I prayed a lot and talked with God a lot. And eventually when I decided to date, I would already decided that I was going to marry Stacy. And that's kind of how it all went too. And it was just amazing how God brought us together. And people even today will say things like, "Oh, you look just like your dad," and talking about me. And I'm just kind of breaks my heart and makes me, you know, glow with happiness and joy, because I know that this is just a total God thing that he did that for us. Just as a part of just giving my life completely to him. That's how it all worked out too.
if we would have only known earlier the magnitude of the things that God had for us.
Absolutely.
Would we have not surrendered to Him earlier?
Absolutely.
Oh.
Absolutely.
What an amazing experience it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of makes you want to surrender more to God.
Absolutely.
And follow Him ever closer.
Yeah.
Doesn't
yeah.
it? How do you feel, Matt, when you're around young people?
I'm just encouraged. I'm just it's just amazing to be able to see how much, especially children, really can respond to just the simple truths in the Scripture, and that they really do want to know more about Christ. You take for granted the things that we know as adults, and then you sit there and you try to teach children, and they ask these questions, and you're like, oh, I guess you probably don't know that because you're only 7 or 8 years old and probably haven't been exposed to that yet. But really profound questions about who God is and you know, what this world is all about and what it means to be a follower of Christ. And so to me, it's just a constant encouragement. And then we also get to work with teenagers in our ministry. So watching them develop into young leaders and seeing them share the gospel with children and see those children come to accept Christ, and then watching these teenagers who had a part in that just develop this passion for sharing the gospel that they might not otherwise have had. So it's, for me, it's just an amazing thing. I just kind of pinch myself every once in a while and say, this really is what I'm called to do, and God really is letting me do this, and especially in a beautiful place like Hawaii as well. But, you know, just every day that opportunity to share with children and see them come to a relationship with Christ and grow in their faith.
How did you become part of Child Evangelism Fellowship?
Well, obviously it's a God thing, but it was kind of an accident, I guess I could say. In 2010, our family, like I said, my wife was a single mother when we first got married in 2000. We came to Maui for our honeymoon. It was a choice between Disneyland and Maui as far as, and I said we could go to Maui for about the same price, and so I convinced her to go to Maui. It was kind of our first exposure to Hawaii, and we were kind of, you know, the newlywed phase and all that kind of stuff, so we really didn't get exposed to the people as much. But in 2010, we told our daughter that at our 10 year anniversary, and when she would be actually graduating from high school when she's 18, we'd go to Hawaii again as a family. And so we went to the Big Island for 2 weeks and went to Kauai for 1 week. And during that time here, that's when we kind of really fell in love with the people. We didn't stay in hotels. We stayed in vacation rentals by owner. So we got to live in neighborhoods for a little bit of time, and we got to spend some time with the local folks and got to see some children. And really, by the time we were leaving the last day on Kauai, all of us were in tears. We were in the car driving back towards the airport, and we really had this just uncontrollable emotional desire to stay. We felt like we were leaving home, and we really didn't understand what that was all about. But now, as we look back, we see that's really where God was starting to plant that seed for us. That He was breaking our heart for the children of Hawaii and the people here of Hawaii. And so when we went back home that summer, our daughter was getting ready to move into her new apartment on Appalachian State. And as my wife and daughter were decorating, they didn't need my help for that. So I was on the computer, and I just typed in children and youth ministry jobs in Hawaii. And up came this listing for Child Evangelism Fellowship of Hawaii. And I started reading through the job criteria as far as what was the responsibilities, working with teenagers, training them to share the gospel with children, going into the schools and sharing the gospel with children, working with adults and Sunday school teachers and helping them better, more effectively share the gospel with children. And everything that I kind of looked off on the list, I thought, wow, this is perfect. This is just what I would love to be able to do. And, of course, in Hawaii as well, you know, where God has just broken our heart for. Of course, we got to one part where it said these missionaries have to raise their own support. And coming from a Southern Baptist background where missionaries are supported cooperatively, that was a new kind of thing for us. And so I kind of did a little Google search on, you know, raising your own support and those kind of things, and eventually brought my wife and daughter together. And I said, look, this popped up here, and this looks like a great opportunity. And here's the one stumbling block that I see, but I really think we should pray about this. So we stopped everything. We prayed together as a family. And later on, I sent in my application and started the process and went back and forth with a state director here in Hawaii. And God just continued to open the door. And every time He opened the door a little wider, we kept stopping and praying and said, okay, God, is this really what you want us to do? Because we started to really count the cost and say, look, Hawaii is a long way from North Carolina. You know, if we did this, we'd have to leave everything here. We have to leave our friends or family. More than likely, we wouldn't be able to take much with us. And so as it got closer, it kind of became more and more real for us. And then finally, in November of that year, they offered me the position. And so we stopped and we prayed for several days and talked with friends and family and finally realized that this really was what God wanted us to do. And so we said, yes, we're ready to come and we're willing to come. So about a year and 4 months after that, we were here in Hawaii.
The one stumbling block you talked about was the commitment to raise your support.
Right, right.
As you prayed and as you moved forward and as the door seems to have gotten wider and wider.
Absolutely.
And the confirmation of your calling became much more evident.
Mm-hmm.
How did that part work itself?
Well, we are not what you would call fully funded. There's a certain goal that we're supposed to have to be fully funded.
Missionaries.
Right. But God has, since we made that decision and stepped out on faith and said, okay, Lord, we know this is what you want us to do. We're going to do our best. And so we've, you know, communicated to our friends and family and churches back home, and we've seen God work in incredible ways. Just all of our needs have been met from that day forward. I mean, we have not lacked for anything. There's been a few times where we felt, okay, Lord, it's kind of getting close here at the end of the month. But in ways that still kind of baffle us, the Lord will just provide something or provide an opportunity, provide a person to come with the finances or just the right amount at just the right time. And so that really has kind of strengthened our faith as well.
Strengthened your faith.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like I said, when I made that decision in college, I really didn't understand fully then what that meant. But even now, we're learning on a daily basis what it means to totally trust in God and that He provides for every one of our needs and we have nothing to worry about.
I get a sense, and you would confirm it if I'm on track. It's almost like a renewed life.
Absolutely.
In this particular season.
Yeah.
That you're at.
It is. It's been great for my wife and I especially.
Get,
yeah.
You know.
That's when, like I said, she was a single parent. We got married, so we've always had Casey with us. So this really was kind of like our honeymoon come out here. Casey stayed back on the mainland because she was in college, and so it's been a great time for us as husband and wife to really kind of reconnect and develop in our relationship as well. And having to trust on the Lord for everything has kind of really kind of magnified that for us.
You know, let's take a moment. Mm-hmm. We'll take a quick break right now.
Okay.
When we come back, I'm intrigued about somebody that would sell everything for a cause. For a calling. I sensed a little bit of an emotional tug when you talked about leaving Hawaii with your family and feeling like you were leaving home. Well, you're here now, but let's talk about your transition when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference. But where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waiahua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waiahua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Child Evangelism Fellowship. Did you know that there was a ministry that exists, that has existed for many, many years, for decades, whose sole purpose is to bring the gospel to children? Well, we're blessed today because we have the local director of Child Evangelism Fellowship Hawaii in studio with us. His name is Matt Walton. I'm Danny Yamashiro. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. It's a privilege that you're joining us today, and I want to pass on some information for you. If you want to find out more about Child Evangelism Fellowship, you're going to hear Matt talk a little bit more, but let me give you this website. CEFHawaii.com. That's CEFHawaii.com. You find out more about the ministry there. In fact, as you listen to Matt, you get a sense of his heart, his spirit, his willingness to serve the Lord. Perhaps the Lord may even speak to your heart about partnering with him and Stacy and the ministry of CEF Hawaii, but partnering with them to stand by prayerfully and financially to support them in the ministry. You can find out more about that and those opportunities there at CEFHawaii.com. So Matt, you sell everything.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that. What was that like? We're in some ways bombarded with materialism in our society.
Right.
But you're releasing things, letting things go so that you could come to do what you're doing today.
Right.
Describe the experience.
It was a little bit of a challenge, but God brought us through a process after we decided we were coming to Hawaii and accepted the position in November of 2010. We kind of began that process of saying, okay, what is it that we think we can take with us, or what is it that we should take with us, and making some of those decisions, we finally realized that, you know, that just wasn't worth it for us to send anything to Hawaii. So we decided at that point to basically sell everything that we had, furniture and those kind of things, and store our keepsakes with our family. And that was kind of a difficult decision, but it wasn't as hard as when we actually started having the yard sales. My wife says, the first yard sale was okay. You know, first yard sale was, you know, the stuff you didn't really want.
Right.
That you could live without. And then after...
You're kind of happy that they buy it, right?
Right, yeah. You're like, okay. So you give them a little bit better deal than you thought.
We give you a good price for that.
And then, you know, she says the second yard sale, after we get closer to the time when we're actually going to leave, and you start to realize the house is getting a little bit emptier, and then you start to say, well, okay, now what are we going to do? We don't have, you know, we're selling our furniture, you know, tables and chairs and eventually our bed and those kind of things, and we're getting down to it, and it's kind of like, this is real, you know.
And furniture.
Yeah.
You know, furniture has the intrinsic value of memories.
Yes.
Right? So that's
true.
Could move into a new home, but when the couch comes, when the dining room table comes, it still feels like home. So you're selling those things off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, I wanted to just, you know, throw in a comment about the magnitude of what you guys were doing.
And it was kind of making it real for us at the time. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, even from our Sunday school family at church, you know, they would come over and visit and come to the yard sales and those kind of things. Like, you're really selling everything, aren't you?
You're actually doing this.
Yeah. And I think that's when it really became real for some of our friends and family, too. And they started realizing that, in just a month or two, they're gonna be gone. And we don't know for sure when they'll be back here in North Carolina. And so that, I think, it was good for us to kind of be a witness to even our Christian family and friends, so that they could kind of see us go through this process. And even now, they can still see that God continues to provide for our needs. And so that really has been an encouragement to us to see how God has used us to encourage other people and to challenge other people as well. We realized during this process that stuff is just stuff. And when we came over here, God provided a place for us. He provided a car for us. The apartment was furnished, the basement apartment that we have in Kaneohe was furnished for us. So when we walked in, it was a lot smaller than we're used to. But over time, it's really become home. We went to the mainland this past summer for a few weeks and came back, and my wife and I both felt like, you know, we were coming back home. Even our teeny tiny apartment that other people would say, wow, you've lived in here for over a year now and you still like it here. And so, yeah, I mean, we just learned to live with less and learn to trust in God more. And that's really where we found joy. We found joy in Him instead of in the stuff.
Child Evangelism Fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
What's the heartbeat of the ministry?
Well, obviously in our name, it's Child Evangelism. We believe wholeheartedly in sharing the gospel with children. We believe that children at a young age can accept Christ. In fact, we believe that statistics show that most people accept Christ at an early age, before the age of 18. And so we kind of believe that's really the sweet spot where churches really should be investing their energies and their time, and Christians should be focusing on the children and realizing that children who accept Christ in their early age have a stronger faith as they grow up to be adults as well. And so that's really our passion, is making sure that children have the opportunity to hear the gospel at an early age. And we believe that before the age of 12 is kind of the target that we're hitting. And so our hope is that as they hear the gospel through the opportunities we give through the summer ministry and through our after-school Bible clubs at the elementary schools, is that they'll have a chance to really hear the truth of who God is, and especially here in Hawaii, where there's so many different ideas about religion and what you believe and those kind of things. And so we really, here, especially in Hawaii, want to make sure that every child on every island can hear the gospel by the age of 12 and know the truth about who God is, that He loves them, that He wants to have a relationship with them, and so they can spend eternity with Him.
That's a big vision.
Mm-hmm.
What's the plan that God has given you to fulfill that?
There's two key parts to what we do. We have our summer ministry and our school year ministry. During the summer, we train teenagers from local churches to share the gospel through Bible clubs. We call them five-day clubs. These take place at churches, at parks, and neighborhoods. And these teenagers go out in pairs, and they teach everything. They teach the Bible lesson, the missionary story. They lead the songs. And they give the invitation after every Bible lesson, and they counsel the children to Christ when they come and raise their hand and say they want to accept Christ. And so that really is a part of our focus of our summer ministry. It's been, as a former youth minister, it's amazing to watch these teenagers here in Hawaii step up to the plate and say, yes, I'll sacrifice 2 weeks to train the first 2 weeks of June. And then they sacrifice anywhere between 4 and 6 weeks the rest of the summer to go out all over the island and share the gospel with children. But the secret is that after they've gone through the program once and they've had that experience of sharing the gospel and seeing a child say yes, they're hooked, because there's nothing like it. There's nothing like being able to see a child come to Christ and see that excitement in their face and really know that you have made a difference for God's kingdom. And so that's the focus of our summer ministry. And we do, like I said, all over the island. Then God has opened a door for us since 2001. There's a Supreme Court case where one of our after-school Bible clubs on the mainland, there was some question of whether or not it was okay for these after-school Bible clubs to meet at the elementary school campus. And eventually the Supreme Court said, yes, if there are other after-school activities, you have to give equal access to the religious organizations like CEF. And so since that point in 2001, the doors have pretty much been open for us to have Bible clubs in the schools. And so our vision here in Hawaii is to partner at least one church with every elementary school, train volunteers from that church, give them the CEF curriculum, and connect them with that school so that they have a chance to share the gospel right there on the campus after school hours with the children who come there. And it's just been amazing how God, even in just a short amount of time that we've been here, has opened up doors. We have three clubs that have been going on here in elementary schools. We have a couple on Maui that are getting ready to start. And this coming weekend, we're going to Kauai to train two churches there to start Good News Clubs and schools there.
Matt Walton is the local director of Child Evangelism Fellowship. You may hear his name much more often. And, of course, when you see him, when you hear him, welcome him with the warm aloha that we are accustomed to sharing here in these islands. Do you have an event coming up sometime soon?
We do. Not too long ago, I was praying and asking God for a way to really expand the ministry and help bring more visibility to what we do to churches and to other Christians on the island. And as I was thinking, of course, praying, I said, well, obviously one of the foundations that we need to have is a foundation of prayer. And we do have a prayer ministry. We have lots of hundreds of people on our list that pray for us on a regular basis here. But I thought, I was trying to think of a way to bring together the churches and other believers here on the island to focus on praying for the children here. And so I was reminded of the event that's on the mainland. It's called See You at the Pole, and I believe they do it here sometime, which is, as a youth minister, was where teenagers would come together at their schools, middle school and high school, and pray for their campuses once a year. And I was wondering if there was anything like that for children in elementary schools, and I couldn't find anything for that. And so finally took up the call and called a minister friend on the mainland and said, look, this is what I'm thinking about. Do you think this is viable? Do you think this is something good? He said, yes, this is great. Great idea. Let's run with it. And so we plan on September 29th. We're planning this to be our first ever Pray for Our Keiki Day. And our goal is to have churches adopt elementary schools all across the islands and bring people from their church together on the campus of those schools and simply pray for the children that attend those schools and pray for the teachers there. I think it's especially poignant with the violence that we've seen at schools and all the things we've seen over the past years to really come together and to pray, especially for the children. But like I said before, as a youth minister, what I realized was by the time the children got to me in the youth ministry program, the mold was often set. And so I really believe that focusing on the children and praying for the children and sharing the gospel with them early, it can have a huge impact on any community, especially here in Hawaii. And so that's the event is on September 29th, and we're looking for churches to partner with us. They can do that by going to our website and letting us know which particular school they'd like to pray at. And then on Saturday, September 28th at Kalihi Union Church, we're going to have a prayer rally where we get together all the folks who are participating in this. We're bringing in Rick Astle from the mainland, who's a speaker who speaks a lot on prayer and just really has a passion for a prayer ministry. And he's going to share with us some ideas and ways that we can prayer walk and all kinds of things we do. But really just kind of bringing together those believers on that Saturday night and saying, yes, we care about the children here in Hawaii. We want to bathe them in prayer. And we want to go to these schools and publicly show a display of the fact that we really care for our children. And we believe that God can open doors and break strongholds just through the act of praying on campus there.
A time to rally together. Mm-hmm. A time to get equipped by Rick Astle. Mm-hmm. And a time to begin to see what God has in store for you in relation to the plan that the Lord has given to Matt and Child Evangelism Fellowship Hawaii for Pray for Our Keiki Day, as well as that being connected to, obviously, to reaching every child in Hawaii with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, the impact is profound, beyond what words can describe. Matt, again, if someone wants to find out more about what you just described, right, how can they get in touch? How can they find out?
You can go to our website, which is cfhawaii.com, and you can contact me there. There's also some pictures on there that talk about the Pray for Our Keiki Day, and you can click on that, and it'll give you more information. And there's a form you can fill out that simply says which elementary school you is in your neighborhood that you would like to pray for, or maybe your children or grandchildren. Or nieces or nephews attend, just pick a school that, you know, you have some connection with, and then just let us know about that. And we'll try to share that information with other people on the island. And our goal, like I said, eventually is to have every school covered in prayer. This is the first time we've tried this event, so we're hoping to have as many as possible this first year. But we really believe that through the power of prayer that God can open up as many more schools to having good news clubs and churches. Will, I think, hopefully begin to see that, yes, these schools are in our neighborhoods, and these are mission fields for us, and how can we get in there to those schools and share the gospel with those children there?
You know what I'm encouraged by is the foundation on what you're beginning on. Of course, the foundation is Christ Himself, but your first plan of action is not to go to the drawing board and to plan a bunch of methodologies, which are necessary at the appropriate time, but you're going to pray.
Yes.
To pray. Mm-hmm. That indicates that you are relying on the Lord, that this is something you feel prompting, that the Lord has prompted you to do, and that it's too big for people to do themselves.
Absolutely.
It needs the supernatural power of Almighty God. And there is no better place to start than as you are doing and continue to do. I'm talking to Matt Walton, the local director of Child Evangelism Fellowship Hawaii. To find out more, go to cefhawaii.com. Find out about Pray for Our Keiki Day. There's an event, a two-part event there on September 28th. That's a Saturday evening. A rally. Rick Astle will be coming to speak about prayer, praying for children. I mean, can you imagine? Evangelism with children is no different than evangelism with anybody else. It's an act and a move of God that is a supernatural working that is brought about by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And God moves through prayer. And kids will come to Christ as we pray. We're going to take a quick break right now, but when we come back, more heart-to-heart discussion with Matt Walton. He said children ask some questions, like, have you ever had your child or hear a child say, how do you know that God exists? I want to hear what the expert has to say, how he answers. Maybe some other questions that children ask. Certainly be good for me to know. Perhaps it'd be good for you to know too. Then we can go ahead and share it with our little Keiki that's around us. So stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.org. Others have connected with us on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Valarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, and RG Maintenance LLC. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 KGU, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Now, I remember, I think it was a television show that, it was a program that was called Kids Say the Darndest Things. And they would feature, you know, kids that would ask and say, you know, they're saying it, they're making a statement, but just the way that they say it, it makes you laugh. Mm-hmm. It's endearing to you. In fact, I remember Bill Cosby, he used to talk to kids, you know, in his program. Even Johnny Carson would have kids on his late night show. And just how cute they were talking.
Right.
But then sometimes kids, they ask some very profound questions.
They do.
Deep things. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you know God exists? Mm-hmm. That is just a sample of one of many others. Mm. Well, we're here with Matt Walton. He's a Child Evangelism Fellowship Hawaii local director. And I want to ask him, how he answers questions like that. Are you listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? I'm Danny Yamashiro, again with Matt Walton. To find out more about our show, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. To find out more about cefhawaii.com, Child Evangelism Fellowship, I just give it to you, cefhawaii.com. Okay, Matt, the question. A child raises his hand, her hand, says, how do you know God exists? What do you say?
Well, that is a question that comes up, you know, and a lot of times what we always try to do is we always have our Bible with us when we're teaching the children. We always try to refer them back to the scripture, and we say this is God's word here, and God tells us who he is and how much he loves us, and everything in this Bible right here is true. And so God tells us in the scripture that he's always been here, that he has always been and will always be. And so this is what I believe based on what the scripture tells us. And so whenever we can, as you said, how do you answer those questions? I usually trust on the Holy Spirit a whole lot. But it's usually questions that, you know, are pretty specific. You know, things like, well, why did Jesus have to die on the cross? Why did he have to shed his blood for us? And again, going back to the scripture and saying that without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. And it's really amazing how easy it is when you have God's word to go back to that and say, and really answer some of their tough questions and really give them some assurance that says, yes, you know, this is true. And of course, you have to put it on a level that's easy for them to understand. You know, we're talking about, sometimes there are questions about the Trinity and those kind of things, and we can't get too churchy with that. And really, it just comes back to simply saying, this is what God said in his word, and this is what I believe how it is. And it's been my experience that it's true. And so that a lot of times we get to that, and sometimes we can really answer their questions. You know, why did God have to come as a child or come as a baby? You know, why didn't, you know, he do some other ways? And because he loves us, because he wanted us to know that he's experienced the same things you did right now as a child, that he's experienced being hurt, he's experienced being angry, he's experienced those things, and he's overcome those things, and he came so that you could overcome those things too through a relationship with him.
They ask these questions, mm-hmm. but you know, these are questions that many adults ask, mm. and the answers, the more simple they can be, the better.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Not just for children, for all of us.
Right.
I remember when I was a kid, the flannel graph of yes. Child Evangelism Fellowship.
A staple for a long time. We have upgraded to PowerPoints now.
Okay, so it's PowerPoints. Describe for us what it's like. What do the children see when they see the PowerPoint presentation? Turn our ears into eyes, please.
Yes, we use a great, we either have PowerPoints or we have visuals that are printed out, and they really do engage the children. The children obviously learn different ways, visually and auditory and those kind of things. And so we try to engage as many of those senses as possible. And we walk them through the stories. Recently, we were at a church this past Friday night talking about the life of Joseph and the very beginnings of that and how things evolved in his family with his relationship with his father and his brothers and what that looked like and jealousy and how that applied to the children's lives. And so it's amazing how you can look at the scripture and really unpack these things. Even on a child's level, they can understand these things. And that's kind of what our foundation is, that we believe that the Bible is not just for adults who can read all the different layers that we think need to be read, but it can be simply shared with the child, and it's very powerful. You know, God's word says that it won't come back void.
One of our dear listeners right now may be saying, I think we need this in our church. We're losing a generation of young people because mm-hmm. we're not engaged, we're not connecting with them, we don't have anything for them. And maybe they're not coming because we don't have anything for their children. Maybe I should call Matt. They call you, Matt, what would you say?
I would say absolutely. We would love to partner with them. We partner with churches often and train their Sunday school teachers in how to use whatever Sunday school material they have and take that Bible lesson and share the basic gospel points about that we all have a need, that we've all sinned, that God says the punishment for sin is separation from him. And the only way that we can have our sins forgiven is through Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for our sins, that he shed his blood for us. And that after he was on the cross and died 3 days later, he rose again and conquered death. And all we simply have to do is invite him into our hearts, and he will forgive us of our sins, and we can begin that relationship with him that lasts forever, beyond death into eternity. And so it's very simple. And we teach Sunday school teachers how to do that every Sunday in their lessons. And we challenge them to give an invitation at the end of their lessons so that children who the Spirit is communicating with and talking to, they have that opportunity to make it known so that the Sunday school teacher can confirm with them and show them from God's word how they know that God will never leave them, how God will always be there, and that he can help them conquer sin in their lives.
I'd encourage you to connect with Matt. They're willing to equip, even tailor it based on your curriculum. I'll tell you what, they will, just hearing him and sitting in on the training, I believe you would be encouraged. You know, sometimes if you're like many ministers, I don't know if you realize this, but many ministers, as they go to church on a given Sunday, some of them, maybe many of them, are contemplating quitting the ministry because of discouragement, because of something that has gone, something that has just built up, and it's just so wearing, and they're discouraged. You might be discouraged as a Sunday school teacher working with the children's church, the children's ministry, because you don't see fruit being born, and you feel like, is God even using me? Am I making a difference? And you've been faithful, but you don't see fruit. If you're contemplating maybe a transition, perhaps you should make a call or check them out at cefhawaii.com. Have them come. Set up a time where you can get trained. You will be refreshed and encouraged. If not anything else, you will be refreshed and encouraged, even in a way with your faith. And as the Lord renews you, renews your strength, enlivens you again with a new vigor and new passion, fanning that flame, which is what they'll do, God will use them to do that, you might get a refreshment that you could continue on a little further. And I know it's not just about numbers, but it is about faithfulness to God, and that God will bear fruit through what you're doing. But sometimes we need a refresher, don't you think, Matt?
Absolutely.
And you guys will be able to help out in that
absolutely
way.
And then we've done that with lots of churches, and we have a yearly refresher course that we actually call it the Children's Ministry Refresher in the spring. And that's really what it's for, is to bring those folks together and encourage them and give them the tools so that they can be more effective. Because when you do see those fruits, then you want to stay in the field a lot longer.
Matt, we got 30 seconds left, okay?
Okay.
A parting shot to someone who has a heart to work with children. What would you say?
I would challenge you to think of what is it in your life that you can set aside and so that you can have time to focus on that. Because children are worth investing in. And think about that question. You know, what would Hawaii look like in 10 years if every child on every island could hear the gospel by the age of 12? I know in my mind I see a Hawaii that's totally different, a Hawaii that's in the midst of a revival, a Hawaii that, you know, is passionate about God and has a stronger faith than it does now.
Words of vital encouragement from Matt Walton. He's the local director of Child Evangelism Fellowship Hawaii. You know, God's timing is perfect. And as we've been talking, you know, there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click Get to Know Jesus. We've got a special presentation for you there. If you'd like to stand with us in a partnership, financial partnership, thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click Partners. Romans 10:14 says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they have never heard? It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guest, Matt Walton, cefhawaii.com. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Leah Rodriguez, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.